welcome to the Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, the Wolf Brothers. I am here with my brungus, Jack. Jack, how are you today?
Doing well. Got a good night's sleep.
That's very important. Do you know why today is a very special day?
Yeah, because it's August.
No, because it's a Tuesday. And you know why Tuesday's special? Because the Timberwolves. So, today we got a lot on the docket. We particularly wanted to talk about the draft. I know you have some very strong opinions. We may disagree on a few things. We ended up drafting Chris Dunn at 5. But this draft really could have gone a lot of different ways. To open the conversation, I guess I'm curious as to what you think about this draft as a whole. Do you think it's a draft that is going to stand the test of time as one that is a deep draft, one that has a lot of high-end talent, or kind of a lackluster draft? What are your thoughts on it overall?
I think overall it's very mediocre. There are a couple guys with star potential. There are two that really stand out, but after that, not much. I do think, actually, once you get later in the draft, the 20s and 30s, it's better than a lot of drafts in terms of the depth, but overall I would say it's a below-average draft.
Consensus seems to have Ben Simmons and Brandon Ingram in kind of a level above the others. I know it's so early to really say anything, and summer league isn't always the best way to determine these guys' ceiling, but would you say that's true? Are those the two guys who have the highest all-star franchise player potential, or do you think those guys might not even, what are your thoughts on those two in particular?
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. I think Ben Simmons in particular, I'm not a hater. I'm a believer. I mean, he's a 6'10 point guard. 6'10, 250 passing machine, and he has clear weaknesses. Doesn't seem like he has any sort of a jump shot, and he didn't play great defense, and tangibly there seems to be some questions about him. But, I mean, the guy's a freak, and I don't want to overreact to what was going on. And Brandon Ingram, he just has crazy tools with his length and his ability to shoot the ball, and he seems like a hardworking kid, so I think both of them can be really good. In particular, I'm on the Ben Simmons train of this guy could be amazing.
So you got Ben Simmons. I watched him play a lot at LSU, and I also watched a lot of summer league. He's the kind of player who I feel like just brings excitement no matter where he's at because of the way he has a pizzazz to him. He has a flash to him. I think there are some questions as to his leadership ability. We're not so sure about that. We know he can lead on the court in terms of his play, and he's a playmaker. But I don't know. He's definitely a guy who seems a little bit subdued in the sense that he doesn't always bring an intensity, and maybe that was part of the where he was at LSU. I don't know. Do you think he's got that killer instinct, or do you think that's something that can be learned, or is that even an important piece to having a player like that?
I think it's really hard to evaluate when the kid was like 18 or 19 all of last year in a pretty dysfunctional program where his intensity is actually at. And so I wouldn't label him as not having a killer instinct. I would say there are question marks about his leadership and his work ethic and stuff like that, for sure. It's not something they should be for sure about, but I also wouldn't disregard it because of last season. I do want to say about these two, I do have more question marks about Brandon Ingram. He is very young. He does have a lot of tools, and he shot the ball well, but I have definitely more reservations about how he'll pan out in terms of if he'll be like a star-like player than Ben Simmons.
Yeah, I think he's a good fit in L.A. When you look at the young core they have, I think there's a lot of question marks about if those are the guys that are going to grow up together. I'm talking Russell, Ingram, and who is their Kentucky guy?
They have Clarkson, Julius Randle,
right,
Nance Jr.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens with them. I thought Simmons going to Philadelphia is really intriguing, just because they could have a really good young core. And I kind of feel like we're lumped into the conversation with Los Angeles, Philadelphia, as a team that can grow up with these guys, and these may be future playoff contenders. So it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, and with Simmons to Philadelphia, it's a fit in terms of they have a lot of young assets, but they don't have anybody that can shoot the ball. They don't have good guards, so it seems like a pretty rough fit in that sense.
Dario.
Like a bunch of big men. Dario Saric, I like Dario.
Is the future. Did I see that game-winning block?
Look, I hope they play Dario at the 3. They play Simmons at the 1. They play Embiid at the 5 and Nerlens Noel at the 4 and just go ginormous. I don't think they'd be good, but it'd be really, really fun.
Who knows? So this draft, we talked about the top 2. We could talk about them for a while, but let's keep moving. The second group, I guess you could say, the guys at least in the conversation, you've got Jaylen Brown, who was drafted 3rd by the Celtics. Surprised me. I think there was a lot of chatter that Bender was going to go 3 or one of the shooters. But Jaylen went 3. Dragon Bender went 4. And we took Chris Dunn at the 5. What did you think about that? Were you surprised Boston went with Jaylen?
I was very surprised. I am definitely out of... There are basically 6 guys in this next tier, if you want to call it, that are commonly talked about. And different people would throw other people ahead, including me, because I was so low on Jaylen Brown. I just... If you look at his production, he was not effective at scoring at all. He was not efficient at all. He has very clear physical tools, and if he plays at the 4, there's some potential there. And so I'm not giving up on Jaylen Brown, but I have no confidence. And if you look at projection models, there's their estimated wins added or their wins above replacement player. Jaylen Brown is so far behind everyone else in this group. He was negative something, and he was below a certain line where if you look throughout the history of drafts, people who have been below that line have not done well at all. And he is so far behind in the advanced metrics that I have a lot of reservations.
Yeah, I wonder what they were thinking with the pick. You know, I guess there is this... Whenever there's a wing defender, there seems to be a shortage of that in the league. So maybe they were thinking that that's what they needed. Maybe it's going to add to Boston's already defensive core. Maybe he just tickled Danny Ainge's fancy. I don't know. But it was a strange pick. The next guy that was drafted.
Did you watch any interviews with Jaylen Brown?
I did not.
In the draft process? The guy's kind of strange. He's pretty intelligent, but he's also kind of a dingus. The way he'd answer questions, he seems kind of cocky.
Maybe that's what they need.
Yeah, I don't know. I was just weirded out by his interviews.
The next guy is one that you've been bullish on for many, many moons. The Dragon.
Dragon!
Something about this guy. I watched a lot of film on Dragon Bender playing in his European leagues. I was never really big on him at first, but the more we got closer and closer to the draft, I started to wonder about his potential. What are your thoughts on Dragon?
I'm in love with the Dragon. I wanted the Dragon for a long time. A couple thoughts on him. One, he is the youngest person in the draft. He was born in November 1997. The kid is 18 years old, and we should keep all that in mind when evaluating this guy. He seems to play really with pretty hard. He has a high motor. And if you look at what people talk about him across the board, it seems they talk about how hard he works and how hard he plays. And the guy, I don't know if he'll ever be a star, but I don't think that's what the Timberwolves needed. We needed someone to support Wiggs and LaVine and Towns. And I thought Bender would be a perfect fit because offensively, he has potential to stretch the court. He shot like 37% from 3 last season in one of his leagues. And he has high defensive potential in a couple ways. He's 7'1", 7 foot or whatever. After his last measurement in an interview, he said he had grown a few centimeters since, which I don't know what that means, but so he's still growing, basically. But he can guard wings and stuff like that. Most of the time overseas, that's what he was doing. And the potential to have Towns and Bender being able to switch on pick and rolls, being able to switch on all sorts of screens, has a lot of potential. Plus, the guy's 7 feet. We could have, in theory, something similar to the death lineup that Golden State had, except both of our power forward and center were 7-footers. And so that's what was really exciting about that prospect to me. He also has a very good eye for passing the ball. And he didn't necessarily do it in his most recent league, but when he played in some other leagues before, he got a lot of assists. He played point guard until he was like 15 years old. And I just thought he was a really intriguing prospect. Kind of like a taller, skinnier, different defensively, but offensively similar to Draymond Green. I think that's a better comp. People can usually say Kristaps Porzingis, but he plays different than Porzingis. He doesn't post up as much. He's more of a playmaker, even a little bit more like Belly in that sense. The Porzingis comp isn't perfect.
Yeah, I think when you draft back-to-back European guys who really are kind of a shroud of mystery over them, they're going to naturally get a bunch of comparisons. I'm still not sold on the Dragon. I think he could be good. I've got a little bit of Darko fears in that he's talked about as a shooter, but we don't really know if he can shoot or if he'll be strong enough to cut it long term. And I don't know. We'll see. We drafted Dunn at the 5th spot. You are not a huge fan of the pick. I am torn. Last week I made some ridiculous hyperbolic comparisons that he could be Russell Westbrook. That certainly is in the cards. But what do you think? Why were you not so excited about this pick?
The reason I was disappointed was because I wanted Jamal Murray. It was less to do with I didn't like Dunn and more to do with I wanted Jamal Murray. So some arguments against Dunn that we should look at. He shot 48% from two last season. He shot 37% from three, 69.5% from free throw, and averaged 3.5 turnovers per game. He was not this efficient player with great percentages or assist to turnover ratios. He made a lot of mistakes, and so we should keep that in mind. And I really thought with this draft what we needed was three-point shooting, which that's part of the reason I love Dragon, because when you can provide three-point shooting at a position like the four, where you typically, or where you don't always have it, that's an added value. And Jamal Murray can get buckets from three, and Dunn does not seem like his form is really weird, and he's not shot it well consistently. So I was very skeptical for those reasons. Plus, he's a lot older. He was born March of 1994. He's already 22. But here's the argument for Dunn, is that if you play Rubio with LaVine, and then if you play Dunn at the two with Tyus, that's a good mix. We talked about this last podcast of offense and defense. And so that seems like a good fit. He could be a good fit for Tibbs. In terms of just his personality, and he plays great defense, he seems like. But at the end of the day, well, who does this sound like? Somebody who can make plays for your team and is a good defender at the point guard position. Ricky Rubio. It's like he's like a Ricky Rubio, but probably will not be as good because he's not nearly the passer that Rubio is.
Yeah, that's one of the things that has me a little reserved is that point guard. He doesn't seem like a guy who takes care of the ball as well, and he can certainly pass the ball, but not at an elite level. That's what one of the things that Ricky Rubio is so special is he has an artistry that you don't see very often, a type of Steve Nash way of seeing the floor and moving the ball. There was a great interview that came out. I believe it was John Krasinski from Associated Press. Talked about Rubio wanting to mentor Dunn, which I thought was interesting. You know, there was so much trade rumors going on with Rubio. He remained pretty quiet. He lost his mother over the summer and was preparing for the Olympics. You didn't hear a whole lot during the midst of all that, but he, it sounds like they've been in conversations with Tibbs talking about how they can work really well together, but often it may need to be only one of them on the floor. He said, if we don't share the floor often, I can really help him. So I think he recognizes that Dunn is who they want essentially to take his place at some point. He's a fan of Dunn. I think the one thing that Dunn brings that is overrated or underrated is he brings a certain intensity. If you watched him play in college, there's a certain, I need the ball in the last minute of the game. There's a quiet leadership style where he has a certain intensity to him that I think will be a good complement to guys like Wiggins, who may be a little quieter.
You could see some of that passionate energy in summer league.
Right, right. And I think that's a good balance when you've got guys who may not have the same, that same kind of attitude. And I don't know, I like the way we're building a team with different personalities, and I think that can be underrated sometimes. In terms of, I do agree with you, unless LaVine can become an elite shooter.
Which I think he will become a really, really good shooter.
I think that's the one argument is that, A, Dunn is older than Wiggins and Towns.
And LaVine.
So that's a little concerning. But we've missed out on two guys. One who I think is a better comparison to Dunn, and that's Buddy Hield, even though Buddy Hield's more of a shooter and scorer. He's also older. Murray is the one who I think is more of a question mark in that he'll be able to score, but does he have the athletic tools to be an elite player in the NBA? So I don't know. I don't know how I feel about the pick either. I think I'm a little bit torn.
We talked about Ingram and Simmons having star potential. Murray's the other person who I think who has star potential. And I don't think he'll necessarily reach it, but his ability from the get-go to get buckets and to hit shots, to finish at the rim, is really, really impressive. And his ability to operate the pick and roll, we saw that both in college and in some... We saw it a little in college, but he was more off the ball. But in summer league, we saw it, especially when they played Phoenix, I think it was. He got like 30, was really impressive. And the difference between Murray and Hield is Murray is a good ball handler and can make things happen more with the ball and off the pick and roll. Murray's also crazy at finishing, and he may not have the best lateral quickness, but he can also get up. If you go look at how he yammed on people in college, it's more impressive than how Dunn's ever yammed on people. And Dunn's way more athletic than Murray, don't get me wrong, way more athletic than Murray. But Murray has a little bit of bounce, and I wouldn't call him really unathletic either.
So let's say Tibbs, because Tibbs is not a guy who's thinking, let's rebuild for the next 3 years and think long term, which had we had a GM situation where that was the case, Murray would have been the obvious choice, unless Dragon was available. I think Tibbs is ready to get better. I think he knows that his coaching tenure isn't going to last forever. Dunn seems like a logical, let's get an extra 5 wins now by picking a guy who is already potential to be an elite defender. I'm just saying that based on what the way he was in college. And we are, by all means, one of the worst defensive teams in the league. So on some level, it does make sense that we would bring in someone who would fit that need now. Now, we also can't shoot, but that didn't seem to be a problem for us offensively. What are your thoughts on that?
I agree with what you're saying in terms of Dunn will be better right now. And it makes sense if we play him at the two as fit, also makes a little bit more sense. So I totally see what you're saying in terms of that. I still just think Tibbs' vision isn't we need to win right, or isn't that we need to like keep building or rebuilding. But I think he's still thinking a little bit in the future that we're not going to win a championship this year. probably not going to win the next year, but after that is when we can start really being in the table. And I would suggest that that's when Murray will start to really shine, and having a possibility of an elite shooter like him still would have been the better choice. But Dunn's defense will provide a lot, and we were so bad defensively, that's important.
Yeah. Well, there are a couple guys who are also on the list. There's Marquise Chris, who I know some people were very bullish on. Just a high ceiling guy who needs a lot of work. There's Buddy. Going down the list past that, there are some other players. There's Thon Maker, who we've been big fans of since he was in middle school.
Although he's like 30 years old.
Yeah, we're a little uncertain about. So there's some shadiness going on there. But what do you think? What about Buddy? Do you think he's gonna? Do you think it was a good pass to not pick up on him?
Yeah, he seems like an incredibly high character guy. He shot the ball unbelievably well. And so there's a lot of positives in that sense. He seems to have serviceable athleticism. There is a common benefit given to him where people say, look at how much he improved in his career. He's just going to keep improving. But if you actually look at what's happened with draft prospects, typically when they improve more in college, that's not a good sign. How they perform right away is actually a better indicator of how they'll do in the NBA. And so I wouldn't discredit him for his massive improvement, but I also wouldn't look at that and say, there's a sign that he's going to be a really great NBA player.
Yeah.
And he's old. He was born in 1993. I mean, not old. And so he has potential to be pretty good, but I think that Murray was a better prospect, and I'm not sure who I would have rather had between him and Dunn. Yeah. That's a good question.
Well, anything else on the draft that you wanted to talk over?
Marquise Chris was an interesting prospect because if he pans out, he could have been the best fit of anybody. But he's such an uncertainty. I have no idea. What do you think? You were big on Buddy Hield.
I was. I'm a KU fan, so I watched a lot of him in college, and he torched us. I thought, from a need standpoint of where we were at, putting a Buddy Hield on the floor with Wiggins and Rubio sounds like a dream. If his shot would translate into the NBA. You know, the thing about Buddy, though, that is interesting is while he can catch and shoot the ball, he liked to create space on his own, and he thrived on that in college. It reminded me a little bit of a Jimmer Fredette situation where he would make these incredible moves with the ball to create space and score. And as we know with Jimmer, that didn't translate well into the NBA because there's just a different type of athlete that you're going up against. And so there are those questions for me. I have a hard time when a guy comes in and drops 38 points. We just haven't seen anybody score like that in college basketball, and his numbers were staggering. So there's definitely a temptation there. But I like the I there are parts of me that like the potential with Dunn. So I don't know. We'll have to see down the road how that pans out. Go ahead.
I also feel like there's this idea that Dunn has the highest potential. Like, I've heard that a lot of like almost any guard or anybody in this draft. But I feel like we equate potential with athleticism, which just isn't an accurate way to do it. If you say that, then Curry had no potential. And athleticism definitely is a part of potential, but you also need to look at variables such as shooting and age and other things like that.
All right, we're going to play a little game. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to list off every or one of the top 10 draft picks, and you are going to give me a player comp within 3 seconds.
This is ridiculous.
All right, here we go. Ready? Mm-hmm. Ben Simmons.
Magic. LeBron.
Brandon Ingram.
Kevin Durant.
Jaylen Brown.
Jay Crowder, but can't shoot. They're on the same team. Jaylen Brown. Who's like Jaylen Brown?
You ready for this? Meta World Peace.
Okay.
Dragon Bender.
Draymond Green.
Chris Dunn.
Yeah, I want to say Russell Westbrook because you said John Wall.
Oh, wow. That's generous. Buddy Hield.
J.J. Redick.
Jamal Murray.
C.J. McCollum.
Ooh. Marquise Chris.
I wanted to say JaVale McGee. That's not a good one. But
actually, that might be a good one.
Who's someone who's really athletic? This is so hard.
You ready for this?
Yeah.
Chris Webber.
Wow.
Jakob Poeltl. I don't know how to say his name.
Jakob Poeltl?
Poeltl. The turtle.
Poeltl? I don't know.
Come on, it's an easy one.
Brook Lopez?
Oh my, really? Way too generous.
These aren't accurate. These are just play style similarities.
Yeah. Oshik is who I was going with. Thon Maker. KG, baby.
KG.
I mean, seriously.
No, he's like Serge, or...
He's got the ball handling.
Because we don't know his real age.
That's a good one. All right, we're going to do a few more. Sabonis.
His dad.
There you go. Boom. Taurean Prince.
Oh, gosh. We're going deep. I have no idea.
Tayshaun Prince. Come on. All right.
That's not a good one.
I got a couple more ones that stand out. Denzel Valentine.
Overrated.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah, we can stop there. Oh, wait, no, one more. Scal Labissiere.
Like a potential athletic stretch four that's terrible.
Yeah, fair enough. All right. Good deal. Not bad. Your prayer comps were subpar, but
there's subpar is a good thing if you think about it. Deep. Subpar, below par.
I see what you just did there. Jimmy Butler trade. There was a lot of rumors coming around with the Jimmy. What are your thoughts about that? Do you think Jimmy Butler would be a good fit?
Not really. He's a really good player. And most people are saying you're crazy if you're Minnesota if you don't make this trade. But I don't think it's crazy to not make it. Because if you look at our roster, he would have been with Wiggins and Rubio, which is just a terrible fit in terms of floor spacing. If we're talking about a team who couldn't shoot threes and we're going to make ourselves worse, let's get rid of our worst three-point shooter and replace him with Jimmy Butler. That is not a good fit in terms of floor spacing. His timeline's also not perfect. He'll be 27 September. So, I mean, he's still in his prime, but because of his lack of shooting and just his play style, I think he'll regress as he ages a little bit. And it, more than anything, and it's hard to know about this kind of stuff when you're not a part of an actual NBA organization, but it worries me to trade LaVine in terms of Towns and Wiggins and their friendship. And I think trading him says something about our organization and how we're going to do things and where we're heading. And I think there's an unquantifiable value to culture and building a team together.
Yeah.
And I'm probably biased because I love Zach LaVine. I really like Jimmy Butler, but I would rather us not make that
But trade. I think you and I probably both fall in the same camp. We err on the side of developing young players over trading assets for a player who is proven. And I wonder if history says the latter is better. Trading for guys, and not like in a friggin' New York Knicks, Chicago Bulls way where you get a bunch of guys in their 30s. I'm talking about guys who are in their prime, Jimmy Butler, and guys who may be question marks, like Zach LaVine. We know he's good. We don't know how good. That if a trade was available, maybe that is the smart thing to not overthink fit, not overthink all these different factors, but factor in the fact that Jimmy Butler is an all-star. He can score the bucket. He can defend anybody in the league. He can stop LeBron. Who on our team can defend LeBron? Nobody, except for Wiggins, because he owns LeBron every time. But what do you think? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're talking about trading Dunn and LaVine in a pick, or Dunn and LaVine. And so, one, we'd be short in terms of our wings. I guess we'd have Brandon Rush now, and we'd consider Tyus as our full-time backup point guard, which might work, if especially if we team him up with Butler more. But that trade would create other holes in our system and would create other issues. So I don't want to jump the gun. And, yeah, it's tough. I don't know. I'm not about
it. Are you ready for this? This is going to blow your mind. There was a photo circulating around the internet that has led me on a journey towards conspiracy. I believe at Team USA during the Olympics, before the game versus Serbia, Tom Thibodeau was having a private conversation with the man, the myth, the legend, Vlade Divac.
Yes!
There are some rumblings, some rumors, if you will, circulating that Tom Thibodeau is considering a massive trade. Are you ready for this? I spent 2 hours at the trade machine, and I found his secret sauce.
Oh, wait, can I do my
proposed You go trade? First, and I'll see if you're right.
Nikola Pekovic, DeMarcus Cousins, straight up.
No, ridiculous.
It's Vlade Divac.
Listen, Vlade would do something like that. And believe me, Pekovic is in the cards. We get these Russians together. They are friends. Here's what I'm thinking. Let's think about need. Who is Sacramento's best point guard?
Collison?
Exactly. What is their deepest need? A point guard. Who is angry? Who is sick of living in Sacramento, sick of being under poor management, and desires to play with other Kentucky players more than anything because he misses Rondo?
Cousins? Boogie. Also, who'd want to join his KU friends?
Exactly. Ben McLemore. Now, here's what's crazy. We have two needs. One, Minnesota needs a proven star. He's got...
No, we don't.
Listen, DeMarcus Cousins, talents. We have him on a two-year $16 million salary, so we guarantee him for 2 years. Now, here's what's crazy. There's a couple other twists in this. It's not enough to give Ricky Rubio and Pekovic to Sacramento. Not enough, because Boogie is a little bit above that trade. So we got to throw in something else. What does Sacramento desperately need?
A point guard.
Athleticism. They need guards who can score. So they get Ricky Rubio, who can distribute the ball. We also throw in Shabazz Muhammad, who we're looking to trade anyway because he's leaving after a year. Shabazz can score the bucket. He's young. He's healthy. He's athletic. And who are they going to give up? Omri Caspi. I have no idea how to say his name. Small forward, can stretch the floor, shot over 40% from three last year. It is the perfect fit. Ricky Rubio, Nikola Pekovic, Shabazz Muhammad going to the Sacramento Kings for Boogie Cousins, Ben McLemore, and Omri Caspi. It's the perfect trade. It works out. It is successful, and we gain +3 wins.
Do you want Towns to play the four?
It doesn't matter. Tibbs will make it work.
I don't want DeMarcus Cousins. I don't want that.
You don't want Boogie Cousins? Oh, that just kills me. You don't want Boogie. I love Boogie. Don't you think Boogie...
on our team. Who? He's the kind of player who I'm always going to cheer for. I do not want to be a part of my team.
Do you see what's happening here? We are creating the Spurs circa 2000s. We have David Robinson and Tim Duncan. Karl Towns is Tim Duncan. Boogie is David Robinson. And then he throws...
That is a poor comparison.
Why is that a poor comparison?
DeMarcus Cousins and David Robinson are complete opposite in terms of their character and personality.
We're talking about them as a players. They're both guys who can post up. They're true fives.
I do not want DeMarcus Cousins.
Wow, you don't want Boogie.
Nope.
You're a bad person.
If Boogie listened to this, I'm sorry, man. I love you. Don't want you on my team.
You were wrong. And here's the other piece. This allows...
They're not going to trade
Boogie
for that.
Think about
they won't do that trade. There's no way.
No. Yes, they will. Bookie is going to leave, and their number one need is Ricky Rubio.
They can trade to Boston, or I guess it's not Horford. They're getting better offers than that.
No, they're not. They're not getting a better offer than Ricky Rubio, and Pekovic is a perfect fit in Vlade's family, and the kind of move Vlade would make. Shabazz is a real asset.
That there's no way ever that they'd make that trade.
All right.
There's no way.
Let me sweeten it. Throw in Gorgui Dieng.
They still won't make it. If they're going to trade Cousins, they're going to get a really good young asset.
Gorgui Dieng won't work.
We'd have to give LaVine or something like that.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see who's right in the next few months. Because this trade is not going to wait. Sacramento wants to be good now, and they need a point guard now, and they know Boogie's leaving next year. I guarantee Boogie does not re-sign with Sacramento.
Okay.
Let's move to our mailbag.
Mailbag!
We had a lot of questions in for the mailbag. We probably won't be able to cover them all today, but we'll start off with our buddy Brandon Meyer 056 at Gmail.
Yeah.
Brandon asked some interesting questions. His question essentially was, how much of an improvement as defenders can Tibbs get from these guys? And he pointed out some unique things. He pointed out that Towns was actually a negative defender according to Real Plus Minus, a negative 0.22, which was 60th out of 71 qualified centers. He pointed out Wiggins was rated with a DRPM of negative 1.84, which is ranked as 68th out of 93 shooting guards. Zach LaVine was rated with a negative DRPM with a negative 3.65. First off, Jake, explain what these things mean. What is a DRPM?
So, defensive real plus minus. When we talk about real plus minus, what you're looking at is, at its core, you're looking at box plus minus, which is how does the team do when you're on the court. So if you're on the court for 30 minutes and your team during that time gets 5 more points than the other team, you'd have a plus 5. What a bunch of nerds did in order to make this stat better is they made what's called real adjusted plus minus. And real adjusted plus minus adjusts the stat for other players who are on the court, both on your team and the other team, in order to make it more accurate. So that if I'm playing with Kawhi Leonard and Tim Duncan, I won't get quite as much credit as if I'm playing with Nikola Pekovic and Kevin Martin. But the NBA took it a step further, ESPN, and they made real plus minus. And real plus minus does some things that real adjusted plus minus does, but what it also does is it added a prior. And so it takes your box score statistics to develop a prior, which is included in what your real adjust plus minus is. So defense, so real plus minus, we need to understand what it is and its uses and its limitations. It is a very useful stat in terms of determining how the team is doing, how your team performed when certain people were on the court. But it is not, it should not be viewed as a sole statistic to determine what it's worth. If you do that, there are a lot of anomalies that don't make sense. And it is very useful, and we should look at it, but we should keep in mind that there's still background noise of things that are happening that it cannot cancel out. For example, because of its use of a prior, centers and power forwards have much higher defensive real plus minuses than other positions because they have more rebounds and more blocks because those box score statistics helps develop that stat. They will naturally have better defensive real plus minuses than other positions. You also can't cancel out all the noise of other rotations. For example, Gorgui Dieng for us has a good defensive plus minus, but you also need to look at how he was used in certain lineups and certain rotations which are beneficial to him. And other rotations we had were poor, made the other players he played with have lower plus minuses. And so there's a lot of background noise to keep aware of, but it is also probably one of the best statistics in determining worth offensively and defensively.
Interesting.
So I'm gonna. I'll talk a little bit about what he's saying. He talks about how much can we really improve. Well, one thing to keep in mind is that with defensive rating plus minus, it will not account for any of the systematic defensive problems we had. Okay.
Yeah.
So, the way we communicated, the way we guarded pick and rolls, the way our team systematically performed as a defense will ultimately make all of our defensive plus minuses lower. And by creating holistic, systematic changes, it will improve all those people. So Wiggins is probably not, and Towns are not as bad as individual defenders as their defensive real plus minus is said. But because they're part of the systematic issues that we have in Minnesota, it's going to be even lower.
Huh.
And so by Tibbs coming in and changing how we guard pick and rolls, how we communicate, how we do all that kind of stuff, it can improve dramatically. A way to look at this too is when Kevin Garnett, he was the sixth in the league in defensive real plus minus. Now, was Kevin Garnett a great one-on-one defender? Was he a great rim protector, any of that stuff? No, he's freaking old. But the way he communicated, the way he encourage other people to play with high effort, the way he would do rotations and things like that, made systematic changes, which made everyone else defend better, which made it a better defense.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It wasn't about what he necessarily did individually, but it's what he added to the team defense.
Well, I think in team defense is something that is, I think, can be directly correlated to coaching. And you see that in some of the top defenses in the league. It's kind of universal that these defenses have coaches who are consistently shown that they can create a system that works, and also create a system where there is that type of energy that a guy like Garnett can create, because obviously we know Garnett's a workaholic, but he also knows how to inspire guys in that way. It'll be interesting to see how that looks, and
No, if you look at Tibbs' first year in Chicago, he brought them from 10th in the league defensively to first in the league defensively.
Wow.
And that jump to getting in the top 5-2 is even bigger jumps than what it is in the middle of the pack. So a coach, you generally see that coaches have a bigger effect on defense than on offense. So I think he can make a dramatic impact. Another thing that can dramatically impact us is Cole Aldridge. He was fourth in the league in defensive real plus minus. Cole Aldridge defensively was really effective last year. And Dunn will probably add some things too.
So what's Aldridge's role? Just a backup to Towns?
Yeah. And so another point that he brings up is how good Gorgui was last year. One, defensively, he was one of our highest in defensive plus minus. I think he says he's 28th overall, which needs to be taken in consideration with what forwards and centers are. He was 17th in centers. Because centers are so much higher in defensive real plus minus generally than other positions. Part of that, I think, was due to our funky rotation. Some of it is probably he did a good job defensively. But if you look at what he did the year before, he was only 0.68 defensive RPM rather than 2. Whatever he was this year. So there were probably some rotations and other things that went into adding that defensive real plus minus score that he actually had. And another thing that Gorgui did is our best offensive lineup was with Gorgui. He mentions in one of his emails how we have the fourth best offensive lineup when we have Rubio, Levine, Wiggins, Gorgui, and Towns. Now, what he didn't say is it's actually the best lineup, I believe, for teams who have played 500 plus minutes for lineups. So we have one of the best lineups in the league offensively with Gorgui in it. But I don't think Gorgui is the core behind that reason. I think Gorgui added and he played really well with Towns, and we saw that consistently. But I think what it was is that's after we had traded Kevin Martin. And that was our best way to put a serviceable four with the four best players we had. Clearly the four best players we had. When we put Belly in with those four, they actually performed really, really well too. And so I like Gorgui. I would love if we can keep him. But Cole Aldridge is a better defender than Gorgui, and at the five he can add a lot. And I think if we have to pay Gorgui a really, really high amount to re-sign him, which we'll have to he will make more than what backup centers will make in this league. He'll get paid. we're going to have to pay him a lot, and we need to evaluate if that's worth it, which it might be, but it very well might be more worth it to keep a cheaper center in Cole Aldrich, who might be even better.
Interesting. Well, that was a good question. I think time will tell. I'm excited. It definitely, the Tibbs hiring was one that probably one of the best, at least in my mind, in terms of fit for what we need as a young team. I think the fears lie in Tibbs. The rumors circulating about players not like enjoying playing for him, which we don't know how much credence we can actually give to that, or guys getting injured from overplaying. I know, it's funny how that works. But it will be interesting.
That's another thing. Our defense will go up because it'll overplay our best defenders.
That is a valid point. Part of me thinks Wiggins is going to have to shape up, or I don't think Tibbs will be afraid to bench anybody. So hopefully we'll see a lot of growth, especially from him. I think people coming out of the draft, I think a lot of people thought that was one of Wiggins' highest upsides, was his defensive potential. And obviously he has a lot of work to do there, so it would be
interesting. it's so strange how Wiggins has actually been a decent on-ball defender, but off-ball he's been just bad. He doesn't have a lot of just effort plays. His rebounding is extraordinarily low for his ability to rebound, for his athletic abilities.
Yeah.
He doesn't get many steals or blocks.
He's kind of got that James Harden thing where sometimes he just is in some other world, or saves his energy, or who knows what's going on. And honestly, I think good coaching, it's not an issue of the effort. I think it's more of a, he just hasn't had the right people around him. I don't know. It'll be interesting. Because that said, he kind of played the same way at KU. There are times where he'd take possessions off, and I wonder if part of that is growing up. He was a guy who could turn it on and turn it off. So I don't know. It'll be interesting.
What do you think? Do you think Kevin Garnett will come back, and do you want him to come back?
I do want him to come back one more year. I think he will. I think he's going to be an even more limited role, but I think having him in the locker room is so huge, and in uniform. I know he'll have a role in the organization, but I'd like him to come back one more year, especially with guys like Dunn. I think Dunn comes from a similar situation of KG, and I think KG could be a huge influence on him. So I'm a big fan. KG, play till you can't walk.
Yeah, I really hope he does. He'd break the record for most seasons played. And I think that what I've heard, the reason why he might not come back is because of how poorly the Timberwolves handled firing Sam Mitchell. I honestly don't remember all the details, but I listened to an interview on a podcast where Sam Mitchell talked about how he was fired, and it was extremely unprofessional. And I was honestly kind of embarrassed. I couldn't believe we handled it like we did. And that's really sad. And KG just has this fierce loyalty.
Right, so right.
He has that loyalty to Sam Mitchell. But I really hope he comes back, because I think he can do a lot. One, I think we play better with him. But people always talk about how amazing of a teammate he is.
Yeah.
And competitors talk about how he's the biggest jerk in the world. And there are vines where you can clearly see that. But he has always been talked about as such a great teammate.
He's on your team, you love him. If he's not, you hate him.
Yes, he's like a Caucasian shepherd.
Like a Caucasian shepherd. That being said, we are out of time for today. And, Jack, it's been a pleasure.
Yes.
Lots of good things. The season's getting closer.
Keep sending in your mail to wolfbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, Wolf Brothers.
Wolf is our handle.
Oh, Brothers Wolf is our handle. We will be continuing to give more and more content. Thanks again to Brandon for sending in the questions.
And we end the podcast the same way every time. On the count of three, say the first thing that comes to your mind. One, two, three. Rest in peace, Elastic. Sam Mitchell.